Now let's turn our attention to another chapter. This has to do with communication with our Heavenly Father's other children. I call it, with His children, the spiritual roots of communication. In a recent interview, I heard the voice of a distraught and tearful mother. Oh, what can I do? What can I do? My daughters are leaving me. I asked, what has happened? My daughters don't want to live with us anymore. They're beginning to stray from the teachings of their youth. Are they going to church any longer? No. Can you communicate with them? No. We haven't been able to talk together for a long time now. Does their father communicate with them? No. There's a real break there. Many of us who are parents of teenagers become very much aware over the years of this tendency to lose our influence with our children. Teenagers tend to listen more to the group they belong to their friends, because their friends seem to understand them and to sympathize with them. And therefore, we as parents gradually find that as our children become more and more independent and free, our influence on them lessens. When we begin to see them taking the lower road, we naturally have great anxiety. We want to know what we can do. In our eagerness to do something, we often rush in and take emergency measures. As we do this, our children may withdraw a little more from us, and rather than come toward our counsel, they sometimes move away from it. Seems to me that there is a common denominator in all of these situations and problems. For lack of a better term, I call the common denominator insecurity or self-doubt. How do people handle such self-doubt? In various ways. In the mission field, for instance, non-members could escape it by simply saying to the missionaries, "I don't want to hear anymore." They had tasted enough of it to realize that something was there that might require a change within them, so they would withdraw or fight against it. Many times we would find individuals who really did not want to live the word of wisdom, but they masqueraded their reasons. "I just can't accept Joseph Smith and the supernatural revelations he claimed," they would say. But again and again, when we asked those who came into the church to look into their hearts and examine the real reasons why they had joined the church, and why they perhaps hesitated for a period of time, they responded by admitting that they had earlier doubted themselves. People were not doubting the church at all. They were doubting themselves. We discovered that an individual would know the church was true only to the degree he or she was true to the church. By being true to the church, they seemed to experience an unlocking from within of a divine sense or a testimony, a conviction that came from obedience. Once we learn this transcendently vital lesson, we stop trying to convince people by persuasion, reason, and the use of Scripture alone, for this approach often stirred up their self-doubts. Instead, we encouraged investigators to obey, to change, to repent, to pray, to live a commitment, to attend church, to study the Book of Mormon. This approach, when followed, minimized self-doubt. An enormous responsibility rests upon us to communicate effectively. And because of this responsibility, self-doubts and insecurities within can rise to the surface until one of two approaches is taken: escape and withdraw, or fight, criticize, and find fault. Find the mote or the weakness in your husband's or wife's eye and focus on it until that view obscures the view of the beam, weakness in your own eye. That makes it almost impossible to clearly see or to effectively give help. Or withdraw, saying, "I don't want to communicate. I have nothing to say, nothing to talk about." That is an escape. Or else compensate for your insecurity by focusing on security from the outside: clothes, fashion, membership in select groups, inwardly saying, "These things can compensate for my own feeling of insecurity and make me feel adequate and more secure." I suggest that none of this works upon the roots at all. None of it works with the underlying causes of strife or of peace. I suggest that the world doesn't know fully what those roots are. those deep spiritual roots that, if exercised, fed, and nourished, could bring about a great internal feeling of security and peace, so that in turn, out of that internal strength and anchorage will flow the ability to be a peacemaker in our relationships with others, particularly when the storms descend. In my judgment, too much of present-day thinking regarding communication is based on a sunshine philosophy. When the sun is shining and things are going wonderfully, people can communicate easily, naturally, and effectively. But the moment the storms descend, and they descend almost every day on all of our lives in one way or another, in the form of little storms, conflicting expectations, economic pressures, conditions of stress, time pressures, and so on, when those things happen, we tend to lose our temper, we shout out, we condemn, we do some things that we would never think of doing when the sun is shining. Sooner or later, when the storms come out, our self-doubt surface, relationship problems commence, and communication breaks down.